thinking somewhere along the line could reduce a kind of poor call on public service and therefore make your business case for you, I suppose. Yeah. There's been a bit of evidence that on the Warwickshire one,
right,
which I think is really interesting, actually. Yeah. I think you're right to say Warwickshire seems to be slightly ahead of the game.
Yeah.
They've had a little kind of mini competition.
Yes, that Warwickshire, yeah.
And one of the things when I was in Birmingham that was very frustrating was to get data around school places, because there was February, March, the appeals system gets bogged down with, you didn't send little Johnny to the one school you've chosen. And one of the ideas there was to create an app that approximated where your child could get into based on previous year's data. And we were kind of hitting our heads against the door for that and can't release that kind of data.
Yeah,
but Warwickshire did release that data.
Yeah.
And then somebody built the app to show based on the because what they do is they set up all the data once a year and they run it. Isn't that program that was on Booster 2 the other day? They just run it once and then whoever's left over, they run the program again.
Yeah.
So they collated all that data from 2007-8-9. So when you make your place choice this year, you kind of know that based on the previous year, 3 years data, you are well outside the area.
Yeah, so
there's no point putting that child in. Therefore, that reduces the potential to reduce appeal that comes into an office that an individual has to do.
Yeah.
And that link between somebody creating a service because they want to show off how good they are at this stuff, as opposed to being procured through IT,
it's
created, and then it saves costs further down the line.
Yeah.
And that was the business case argument we were always trying to build and articulate to the council. We never could because the buggers never released the data in the first place just to demonstrate that's possible. And I don't know what the extent to which Walsall has seen that, any of that yet, any of the people building apps or any...
certainly not that we're aware of. But it's something that we're looking to do a bit further down the track. Is this big regeneration thing where all of the councils across the country are supposed to kind of... I won't bore you with what the three-letter acronym is. We basically look at what their area is good at and bad at, so they can see where the skills gaps are and the weaknesses and what they're good at. So
it's not ADZ, is it?
No, it's not. It's an LEA, local enterprise. Show me where that. It's not a lab. No. It's just basically a big survey of Walsall PLC, what it does well and what it doesn't do well. And we're looking to maybe do something along those lines, just publish some data and say, can we do something? Price.
I think the thing with apps is that they tend to be updated periodically and get biased or less. But have you thought about how to kind of implement the potential app relevant to your locality or government in general?
Do you look at an app as opposed to?
Yeah, let's say for instance, there's an app for iPhone, whatever. Say news updates or council spending or stuff like that, or minutes even in council meetings. But how would you go about doing that? I mean, would you get some sort of like a coder, a freelance even, a designer in to make these apps, or would you have it in house, sort of like a salaried employee kind of?
I think there's some expertise in house, but I think it might be in London. We've got a bit of a kicking for doing some apps for iPhones. Criticism was, well, you're spending money, it's probably money, you should be doing that, you should be letting other people sort of do it. I know there is the argument that local government or government shouldn't do anything at all, they should just publish the data and leave it at that full stop. I don't particularly subscribe to that wholly, because there might just be areas where actually there's a real need for people to sort of go off and learn that, which isn't going to be built by web savvy citizens, so maybe there needs to be a bit of it, and particularly in the early days where you need just a few examples of this is what can be done, just to try and sort of generate sort of stuff.
You said yourself, you mentioned 90,000 people, unique IPs and on the site each month, which is phenomenal really, considering it's, how many people actually live in your locality?
250,000.
So, assuming a portion, regardless, even if it's only 50% from your locality, that's a pretty decent chunk of the population. How would if you did get this app, a minutes app, something less sort of arcane, a bit more general, like news or whatever, updates for the council. How would you go about promoting it? Or would it just be like putting it on the web and sort of crossing your fingers and hoping that it does get all the attention? Or would you liaise with the press? Would you do marketing? Would you do banner ads, Google banner ads, what have you?
Well, you'd certainly sort of publish it, but it's right at this minute. We're kind of, to use that rocket analogy, we're kind of like, we've just stood back and lit the fuse, and there's this thing in the air. We're seeing how it's flying. We haven't quite booked tickets to go to wherever on it, or to do all that kind of stuff. We're at the stage of almost like sucking it and seeing, and throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it works. There's a whole lot of different steps a bit further down the track, which are probably going to present themselves at that time, but it can be so difficult to try and extract information from a large authority anyway.
Yeah.
That's a full-time job, let alone worrying about it. But at some point, we probably will do it. I just thought, on that kind of like idea about sort of what data sets are there, one thing I'd really like to take back is just some feedback from you lot, just to sort of say, this is the kind of stuff that we'd really like. Because at the minute we're trawling around sort of like council departments saying, well, there's this and there's this and there's this. And that's great. That's our interpretation of stuff. You might have something completely different.
I'll just give you an example from my own local website. I did a story around gritting.
Yeah.
To go back to grit. Two things to do for it. I suppose the geolocation of grit bins is quite handy if you want to do a big society thing that people... shoveling the rain grit onto roads, which is fair enough, so it's quite handy to know where they are, but you can just look out your house and find them. But we did a story on the BournevilleVillage.com site, which is about gritting routes in Birmingham that prioritised level 3, 2, 1, you know, as to major or less important. And I thought there was a story emerging around the city's going to run out of salt and the road isn't going to be gritted because it's priority 3.
Yeah, so more panic stories about that.
Yeah, I thought I'd jump on a panic story and bang wagon from the local angle. Yeah, well, that's how that's the kind of story after. But what we did, was I knew that this data is available in an appropriate format within the city, because I've met the bloke who looks and looks after the data in transportation.
Yeah.
But he didn't really want in a conversation around data and BMRs and all that kind of stuff. He said he didn't really want to release that stuff for one of two reasons. One, he thought he was sensitive around, it was about his commercial sensitivity. When the contract for bins and the grits lorries come up in 2 or 3 years' time, another operator could see what the routes were, they worked, and they'd be competitive. Secondly, he was eyeing up internal resource to his unit to be paid internally to release the data set. So whichever way, it didn't turn out to get released. So I sat and created my own Google Map version an entire afternoon of just Bourneville's gritting route, and then wrote, and so the story was played out in a kind of red is one, blue is two,
yellow.
And if you're on a yellow route and it doesn't get gritted tomorrow, it's because Birmingham's run out of salt, watch this space kind of stuff. Unfortunately, we did run out of salt. I did a second.
I don't know what that was, but it could be because the county of Walsall, we ended up flogging loads of salt.
Brilliant. But I did a separate blog post on my own blog, moaning about my waste of a Sunday afternoon in creating this, when I know the KML data file exists.
Yeah.
And that quite interestingly played out into a separate story around that data being used in OpenStreetMap. Well, even though it all played out and it's in OpenStreetMap and that's great,
and then
citywide gritting.
City then linked to.
Which is fantastic.
OpenStreetMap and the village mapped all the gritting groups.
So the city still never released the data. All they did was produce a spreadsheet of
road
priority, which I'd already scraped and put in Google's Google Docs myself.
Yeah.
So even the end game of this.
Yeah,
as torture as it was, didn't really result.
They
did
link to it. They did say, "Here is a link to it."
So, but what I'm saying is,
if you release it for Walsall, but there's bits of Walsall need a bit more mapping, so you might get better mapping if you release it.
But I think my point is, Dan. Sorry, it's just that data for gritting lorries is really quite dull. Okay, but from a hyper local blog point of view, it's really quite interesting because it's one of those things that citizens care about,
yeah.
especially middle class Baldwin.
I don't think it's a lot of
everyone.
I quite agree with the whole sort of point about sort of grit roots being done on the face of it, but last winter, as a bit of an experiment, which kind of got out of hand, every time the Walsall Critters went out, I sent out a tweet to say, oh, we're going out at 10 o'clock and all this kind of stuff. And if people started asking questions, we'd point them towards the bit of the website and said, here are the list, you know, in a PDF.
Yeah.
But probably for about 350 days of the year, gritting is dull. It's desperately dull. But then it gets really, 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 really good when people can't get to work and it's all the sodding council's fault. And then it becomes kind of a really big thing.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down in the press office and we kind of worked out that actually grit and school closures, if we just did those brilliantly, it doesn't matter about the rest of the like, we could just do those two and we would, you know...
In a way, I'd like a bit of that as well, really, because... if you type in Bournville schools into Google, I come up pretty high, Rick, because I've written about Bournville and I've written about schools. So in a way, what I'm asking, I suppose, for local authorities to help facilitate our content in that sense. I mean, it doesn't matter too much. My Google map of Britain route is in the bag now. That's coming out every year. First week of 1 or 2 degrees C. It's coming out.
But
I think there is a facilitation in even quite ordinary, fairly dull data that authorities can provide that innovative bloggers can make use of in ways that maybe are unexpected. And I think that's the argument that gets lost in trying to make the case internally in the authority.
Yeah.
They wouldn't think that anybody could use that at all.
Well, no, that's true. And sort of as a local government example as to why we can't possibly do this, I think it might be on a council down south somewhere where they wanted to publish the locations of, I think, post boxes. They were doing a survey of old Victorian type post boxes. And I think somebody somewhere said, oh no, you can't do that because that might be of use to terrorists. So there is that sort of element of people who kind of like just come up with sort of reasons why this shouldn't happen. But there's numbers of people who think, this is a good idea.
So I think the thing that when we started having this discussion about the gritting, it was actually something Paul put on his blog a number of days ago, the week before last. So it was about the crab back in London. And basically, you know, regular occurrence. There was a tube strike in London.
Yeah.
And obviously what happens in a tube strike, you know, transport is disrupted and people try and get place to place, work, leisure, whatever. Now, on the ground, that's actually horrible. It's dreary, it's miserable, it's inconvenient, and you're pretty irritated. But from the perspective of the journalists, BBC and London journalists who were basically replicated the Post, it's incredibly interesting because they didn't get many hits. They weren't as successful as your unique views, 90,000, but they got a fair whack of people. Some were foreign, as you look at it.
Yeah.
Some actually within London actually derived help from the service, you know, which trains and instructors. Where should I go? How do I get back to work? Or how do I, you know, and Paul, would you like to elaborate on that? Maybe just the crowd map?
Well, it was a cross post. Or guest post or both by Claire Wardle, who works for BBC. Well, you were talking about it, weren't you, Dave? Because it's this Ushahidi crowdsourcing mapping tool called CrowdMap, is it? So I don't know. You were saying you were looking at it, and I don't know if you probably know more than I do.
I think the real benefit out of it is whereas if you look at, for example, the Birmingham Mail site, whenever it snows, we do the live blog, we get the school closures coming in, but it's just one constant stream which you have to trawl through. With that, people can report the stuff straight on there. Say if their school's closed, they can say that our school's shut or this road's blocked, in addition to the stuff we're feeding in there. It's almost the holy grail of visualising live data, I think. It was through that post on your blog that I looked at over the weekend.
Mm.
And it just got need some tweaks, and ideally an embedding option would be brilliant as well. Mm. But it's a tool which we could do so much with. It's, although the part of me knows that it was invented to deal with sort of like things like the Pakistan floods, and theirs are probably going to be used next time the school's shut for a day. It's glorious. No.
Oh, but hang on, that's important.
Well, it feels like we're trivialising it, but no, absolutely, yeah. It's important to our readers. But
that route could be the, if you think of a way that mass market journalism has subsidised international journalism and investigative journalism, maybe that school closures is going to subsidise mapping of Pakistan floods.
I should console myself with that.
Yeah.
School closures in Pakistan, where
you going? Should we move? I'm conscious that Carl Plant is all on his lonesome at.